You're listening to the Today's Conveyancer podcast, the leading source of information for residential property lawyers in England and Wales. Don't forget to subscribe and sign up to our free newsletter at todaysconveyancer.co.uk. You can also follow us on LinkedIn and Twitter.
Hello and welcome along to the latest Today's Conveyancer podcast. I'm joined today by Mike Stainsby. Mike is the commercial director at a newly launched business, Conveyancer Insights, which is part of Property Searches Direct. You also have Property Logbooks from memory, Mike, as well. It's lovely to have you on the podcast. Thank you for joining.
Thank you very much for allowing me on. It's an honour.
The discussion today is going to be a little bit about the launch of the new business, but also very keen to explore this challenge that conveyancers face, which is really around a lack of management information and data to drive their business. We're reliant on government to provide us with information around transaction statistics, which come out 3 or 4 weeks after the event, don't they? So we're always looking back. We're recording at a time when there's a lot of gut feel decisions that go on, particularly at the moment. We're not quite sure what the market's going to do over the next 12 months. And it's very difficult for conveyancers to make informed decisions about the futures of their business.
That's very true, David. And that's entirely why we set up Conveyancer Insights. Property Searches Direct is very much transactional. It's about providing searches to the conveyancing industry and to the general public, and trying to demystify the dark art that is conveyancing, helping estate agents understand turnaround times and trying to help the industry demystify what it does. Then on the flip side of that, we set up PSD Logbooks, a company which we're working directly with Twindig, providing digital twins of properties, which we see as a completion tool for solicitors, so that every time they complete on a property, if they opened a logbook and gave the client a digital twin of their property to store all the important documents that have come up during the transaction, they could then build that store of documents, and when they come to move again, they can actually then use that as a store to start the transaction again. Imagine actually, you know, speaking to a conveyancer on day one and saying, I've got a fully completed BASB, it's got everything you need to get on and issue a contract. I think most conveyancers would have their socks blown off by that. And I genuinely think that conveyancers are in a position where they can start to affect the market by using those kind of technologies, and that would be a real help. So if PSD is transactional, and PSD Logbooks is about post-completion, we suddenly thought, hold on, we're missing a trick here. We're not actually doing anything for conveyancers on the front end for transacting and starting new business and dealing with the general public. And that's really approximately nine months ago when it started. We decided that we really needed to start to help conveyancers understand the market they're working in, start to look at some of the data that exists, and start to do reports based upon what a new business client would experience when dealing with that company for the first time. And that's what we really spent the last 6 months doing, is putting data together that really does, you know, put the finger on the pulse, so to speak. We picked 10 towns at random. Effectively, that was 172 law firms and more than 200 estate agents, and picked up the phone and saw what happened. And it was quite enlightening, to be perfectly honest. And it's really interesting to hear what estate agents say about conveyancers, who they're recommending, why they're recommending them, and indeed why they're not recommending them. And that's really where it all started. And the data is, sort of, to a certain extent, fairly irrefutable.
We're going to come on to that shortly, because you've got some really interesting stats around that, and some really interesting sort of anecdotal evidence as well. Your own background, Mike, is in business development and consultancy. You were telling me that you've been an estate agent. We won't hold it against you. And a motor car dealer. I'm not sure we'll hold that against you either, will we?
Probably. Yeah, I spent 25 years in property and 10 years in the motor trade, all of which has taught me a lot of stuff. The estate agency time was when before mobile phones and when a hot box was a thing, and then moved into putting the HIP transactions, launching HIPs into the UK market, which was very exciting time. I then went on to train to be a domestic energy assessor. So, that proved to be a bit of a waste, unfortunately, along with thousands of other people when HIPs was dropped. I do hear some conveyancers and some estate agents anecdotally sort of mourning the loss of HIPs and seeing that actually, do you know what, they weren't that bad because upfront data was the main thing. I then moved into searches, training and business development, as you said, David.
Tell us about the launch of Conveyancer Insights. First question, quite straightforward. What is it, Mike?
We actually spend a lot of time doing market research, effectively mystery shopping estate agents and solicitors. So just to see what it's like to be a customer dealing with a conveyancing firm for the first time. That actually has been, quite eye-opening. As I say, we're really not trying to knock conveyancers or give them a hard time, but there is considerable room for improvement with most firms. And some of the information is quite staggering. One of the things I did is spoke to a lot of people and asked them whether they even knew what conveyancing was. And here's a staggering statistic. 27% of 100 people that were stopped randomly didn't know what conveyancing was. So if you go to conveyancers' websites and you have anything other than a moving home tab, you've got to ask yourself why, if a quarter of your possible clients don't actually know what conveyancing is. And a lot of websites you look at, actually, it's really difficult to find the home moving or conveyancing section. It's buried in lots of other things. More than 50% of law firms don't have a way of getting a quote from that law firm without calling them. There's no sort of quick quote button or way to access their services, which is, again, quite astonishing as a fact. Apparently, there's 3.8 million shift workers in the UK. So there's a good chance that they're not going to be able to get in touch with you between 9 and 5. So, access to your services is severely limited by not having a conveyancing button or making the service easy to access.
Are you an advocate then of having the quick quote service on the website? I've spoken to a number of sort of marketing and business development people over the years, a number of whom are actually against that as a principle.
I have to say, I would think that it would be sensible for firms to have it because it mops up the people that won't make a phone call. I think it is definitely a fallback position for those people. A lot of people do like to make a phone call, pick up the phone, or walk into a conveyancer. I get that, but I think you're missing a trick if you're not using a system like that. And I think the assumption is that they're very expensive, but they're not. They can be put together for pennies, and they create a data resource and a way that conveyancers can actually lump together the inquiries that have come in across a weekend, a bank holiday. It's a great way of mopping up those inquiries. I appreciate that you don't get the face to face, and it is less personal, but I think it's a great way of getting those inquiries.
Well, I guess there's no stopping the conveyancer from picking the phone up post-event and trying to qualify it in some way, is there?
Yeah, and again, that's part of the research, interestingly, is that if you do actually get in touch with conveyancers, I only actually had 10% follow me up by phone. And 7% never actually sent the quote they promised. Interestingly, also, 9% misquoted stamp duty, which again is quite worrying. If I can make a little analogy, the way I look at conveyancing is the quoting side is a little bit like a pinball machine, in old-fashioned pinball with the flippers on the side, the lights that light up, the scores and the noise. I see a sort of plunger that pulls a huge ball bearing that fires up into the machine. I honestly feel that if the plunger and the ball bearing going up is a customer picking up the phone for the very first time, there's an opportunity for the conveyancer to catch that quote and do a good job. We categorize the process into three parts. There's the initial call handling, the information gathering that's done by the conveyancer, and then there's the actual quote itself. Those three sections we grade into five possible points that you can get for each. So you can get a possible 15 points. And from that, we can actually score and be really, really fair about how we score what the conveyancers are doing and what the staff are doing. And that actually has given us the metric to be able to score one firm against the other. And that's been very, very helpful in putting together the system.
When you pick up the phone to these conveyancers then, Mike, who typically are you talking to? Are you talking to the receptionist? Are you talking to the conveyancer? It's increasingly popular for firms to have business development resource.
Typically, what tends to happen is the smaller firms, you end up speaking to a fee owner. Bigger firms often have a new business department. But what we try to do is we try to grade the way the call is handled initially by front office reception staff, because really, frankly, they can make or break the business. We've actually had a number of situations where the phone has been answered by a receptionist very, very well, tried to pass it through to a department to do the quote, and the phone's just either rung out, which is unbelievable, and then you just get lost in the system, or somebody picks up the phone and says hello and has no idea who you are, which is a kind of a bit of a missed opportunity, really. You know, the point of getting this information is also to be able to inform law firms about their financial headroom. It's all very well saying hold fast on your fees, but if you're the cheapest conveyancer in town and there's 10 other conveyancers and they're all charging twice as much as you and still doing business, you've got to ask yourself why you are making your fees so cheap. So sharing information about everybody else's fee scales are important and helpful to our clients.
Dare I say, Mike, and I don't say this to denigrate what you're doing, we've heard this conversation before, haven't we? This is not a new phenomenon. We know that the conveyancing industry can improve its quote handling, its initial inquiry handling. Why is it, do you think, that the industry hasn't really got to grips with this?
It's actually really difficult to get hold of the information. I mean, yeah, anybody can pick up the phone to all their competitors, but actually it's difficult to do, and it's difficult to be impartial and unbiased about it. You can get a friend or relative to do it for you, but frankly, I think you do need somebody else to do it and do it in a professional manner and be completely unbiased. It is difficult to understand why there isn't more emphasis put on this. We do training courses for conveyancers, for their frontline staff, and we do talk to them about selling and closing. But we appreciate that the profession, those words are an anathema to them. They don't want to sell and close people into their services. But what we do tend here is when we ask conveyancers and the people that are doing the quotes, you know, what do you say as a leave behind? And what I was hearing was shop around and come back to us. You know, that's not really a close. You really do need to ask them, can I open a file? Shall I get this going for you? You know, that's a close, a soft close, albeit. But asking people to shop around and come back to them when they've got other quotes doesn't seem like a very good idea, because it's just inviting them to want to knock you down.
You've shared some of the research with me, and there were some standout stats that I particularly picked up on. Just under 2/3 of firms don't know their quote rates or their conversion rates. I think you've suggested that less than 10% of firms seem to simply fail to send quotes, or certainly did on the occasion that you've inquired. Like we said at the outset, we're making decisions based on gut feel rather than empirical evidence.
Yes, indeed. I mean, it's easy to just say maybe we need a new phone system, maybe we need a new glossy brochure, maybe we need, to paint the office, make it look a bit nicer. But frankly, if you aren't dealing with inquiries in a professional and polite manner, and you're not transferring calls in a good manner, then effectively the business can be killed by that member of staff that's just dealing with it badly. It needs to be brushed up. It needs to be improved. And the only way you can improve anything is by measuring how you are in one particular moment in time. I appreciate that the reports are going to be a snapshot, a particular moment in time. You know, occasionally we get I was phoning and getting told, oh, it's Wednesday. The lady that does our quotes isn't in on a Wednesday. She'll be back on, Thursday morning. Can she give you a call then? You know, that's actually okay, because, as long as the person does call you on Thursday and you're not desperate to get it done straight away, that's fine. It's a professional way of dealing with it.
You've talked about the research that you've done, a number of towns, a number of firms. Here's a loaded question, I suppose. Why is it important that conveyancers understand their position in their locality, given the increasingly commoditized way that conveyancing is delivered? It doesn't matter that you're in Bournemouth, your conveyancer could be in Preston or Leeds.
I think there's quite a lot of pushback from people buying and selling properties being pushed into using a conveyancer by an estate agent. I think really most people like to use a law firm in their town. And I think there is, some bad press about just finding the cheapest one online. I think a lot of people still will walk into their town, will walk into a conveyancer, will, try and see what's happening in their locality, trying to support local businesses. I think there is more of that, people trying to buy local. And I think that if they go in off the street, they need treating well. And if they make a phone call, they need treating well. And I think that law services, conveyancing particularly, I don't think is that commoditized. I think people do use local firms. And I think estate agents like to use and recommend local firms as well.
And is that borne out by your research? When you're talking to estate agents, are they recommending local organisations?
Absolutely. You'd be surprised. Of the 200-odd firms that I spoke to, the mentions of local firms was definitely more than using any outside resources. It was mostly recommending particular fee earners at particular local firms. And that was quite encouraging. And that's what we feed back to the law firms in the research.
I was going to say, I mean, that is a finding, is a really important takeaway for conveyancers, isn't it? Because it means they really ought to be looking more closely at who they're working with locally.
Totally. And again, that's part of our service. We try to actually reinforce those relationships between local firms and local estate agents. You know, I would actually ask an estate agent, why are you dealing with such a large firm that's in Swansea when you're in Brighton? You know, why do you do that? And frankly, it's part of the business development process, is that if we could show them a way of improving the relationship that they have with local firms, it's not all about referral fees. It really isn't. And I think if you could provide a local estate agent with a simple quote platform, and then you can liaise with the law firm to make that work between them, there's absolutely no reason why that shouldn't work as a relationship. The one other thing that the research showed that was quite concerning, although I haven't extrapolated all the information yet, is that a lot of law firms, a lot of conveyancers, Trustpilot and Google reviews are woefully bad. And I have to say, to ignore local Trustpilot and Google reviews is a really bad thing to do. And if you've really got to answer these questions, you've got to address the issues, you've got to do something about it to improve your online presence, because that's potentially where a customer might start.
Is there a profile of firm that is good, bad, indifferent?
The profiler firms, literally, we picked 10 towns at random and called every conveyancer. So we weren't just looking to find out, you know, what the one branch, two branch firm was like. We wanted to pretty much use the same metrics to get the same answers or differing answers from different size firms. There really isn't a good or bad firm. I mean, I'd like to be able to say a three branch firm is definitely the way to go. You know, they manage to keep their standards higher. It's really not true. There's good, bad, and indifferent across the entire gamut, you know, whether it's a small firm or a huge, you know, well-known firm.
You've already alluded to the fact that it's important, in your opinion, to have a quote calculator of some description on the website. Did you sense that there was a certain amount of technology at play in some of the organizations that you spoke with? Were they sort of asking questions that went into a perhaps a calculator or something like that?
Yes, and I think actually to a certain extent that actually can spoil the experience, because we sometimes had a number of conveyancers saying, oh, wait a minute, I'm just firing up my machine, or I need to input this here, and oh, that's not working. And so I think, you know, it would be nice to keep it as conversational as possible. The technology can actually spoil that experience, that face-to-face, you know, whites of the eyes type thing, and it can actually slow it down. And in the small firms, when you are actually speaking to a fee earner, you can't help thinking, some of them are thinking, I wish this bloke could get off the phone, I need to get on and do some work. Or the other end of the spectrum is they sometimes get too over technical and start explaining what stamp duty is and how it will affect you. And frankly, I think your average person in the street that phones up for a conveyancing quote wants to have a half pleasant experience, where they call a law firm, they ask for a quotation, they get put through to somebody who cares and is interested in them. Because part of my process is to actually try and build some rapport. The customer service experience and the rapport building is really the point. When you get to the end, you're not really, very rarely are you shopping on price. You're actually shopping on getting a half decent experience. And as long as it's in the ballpark, as long as the price is there or thereabouts, I'll just say, get on with it. And I think most people will do the same.
I read something in the not too distant past about the fact that a number of conveyancers don't explain that a number of the disbursements and stamp duty will be universal across all quotes. And of course, if you're doing a purchase case and you're a first time buyer, for example, and perhaps a little naive, you're looking at the quote thinking to yourself, crikey, how much?
I can honestly say to you that of the hundreds of law firms I've spoken to, not a single person ever said to me, most of what we've just quoted you is tax. And that is one of the biggest recommendations, you know, say that, frankly, that those prices are mostly tax, and you'll get that from anywhere. And then don't suggest, as a lead behind, go and shop around and get some more quotes before you come back to me. You need to just ask for the business, but handle it properly from the get-go.
I think some of the challenge here is that as a professional services provider, as conveyancers are, you don't necessarily come out of college, university, apprenticeship, however you've entered into conveyancing, having done a huge amount of business development or marketing training. You know, it's not necessarily part of the curriculum. So it is absolutely important that you're educated on it. But equally, I think as service providers, we have to take a step back and acknowledge that. I think the other thing that's really interesting here, Mike, is that you're actually managing to pull something together that provides an objective and perhaps some empirical evidence of what a law firm needs to know about their onboarding and a new business process, which to date seems to have been sort of quite difficult to come by.
We spent almost 12 months putting together the metrics that actually bring it to a conclusion. It's important to be able to measure those different parts. The reports will give you the answers to a lot of those questions, which have always, as you said previously, would have been probably a gut feel or an idea about improvement, but nothing in black and white that can actually be printed off and stuck in front of a management table. Not that many law firms have marketing departments. They have to be of a certain size, but managing partners do sit around, with the board and talk about improvement. And effectively, the figures will enable them to make some dramatic improvements with little or no effort. And that's what we're aiming to do, is to give data driven insights into how to improve a law firm.
I wish you all the very best with it, Mike. It's been a delight to have you on the podcast. Thank you very much indeed for joining.
Thank you for having me on.
That's a wrap. The Today's Conveyancer podcast is available on your preferred podcast provider. It's also available on todaysconveyancer.co.uk. My thanks to Mike. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you again soon.
You're listening to the Today's Conveyancer podcast, the leading source of information for residential property lawyers in England and Wales. Don't forget to subscribe and sign up to our free newsletter at todaysconveyancer.co.uk. You can also follow us on LinkedIn and Twitter.